Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride. Oh, yeah.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from our Southern Command, Memphis, Tennessee. Great to be with you today, folks. And we've got a lot going on this hour. By the way, Monica Crowley is going to be here in just a little while. Also, Congressman Doug Collins is going to drop by. Now, we got some messages on the Facebook page about Lee Greenwood. Todd, can you play the Lee Greenwood song again? We want to hear the new arrangement. Okay, we're going to do that. But we're gonna hold that till the end of the program, and we will close out this show with the new rendition of "Proud to Be an American." I got to tell you, Caleb and Avery, y'all were killing me, man. I was already getting misty with that song,
yeah.
And then you bring on the caller. What was his name? Sydney.
Sydney. That was a really good call.
The war. He served in the military. Came here from the Philippines. Became a citizen. And put his life on the line so that all of us can do what we do today. Oh my goodness, you gotta ease up this hour of the show. That's all I'm saying.
See, our strategy here is to like get you up on the edge of tears, and then back off, and then do it again, back off, and then hopefully by the end of the show we can just get you hardballing on air. That's the strategy.
No, we're not going to do that. So what would Limbaugh do? Limbaugh would not do that. So we can't make that happen. All right, 844-747-8868 if you want to make Todd Starnes cry. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right to the Newsmaker line. I am so excited to be talking with this guy. He's got a new book coming out July 14th, Red November. Will the country vote red for Trump or red for socialism? What a great question. Joel Pollack from Breitbart News is on our Newsmaker line. Joel, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you.
Well, look, I've got to tell you, as a conservative, a longtime reader of Breitbart, and I had a chance to meet Andrew several times back in the day. Thank you for what you guys are doing. You're doing what the mission was from day one, and there aren't many conservative organizations out there that can say that.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You know, we have a great team. Our video team goes right into the heart of these protests at great physical risk to themselves. One of our cameramen was beaten, assaulted by Antifa people at the protest in Lafayette Park outside the White House. You know, the peaceful protests, the ones Democrats call peaceful, those protests in Lafayette Park. What you're not hearing is that a lot of other news networks are also being assaulted and threatened. So they're doing less reporting of what goes on in some of these protests. But yeah, we have a team that really works hard on bringing you the news. And we've been live streaming and covering a lot of the protests the rest of the media won't. Thankfully, I think some of the riots are dying down. I think President Trump has been effective. I think some of the governors have stepped up, and we saw the chop get chopped in Seattle. But the American people, I think, are still very worried that this November could be a red November in the sense of a socialist revolution. And Democrats are certainly doing nothing to reassure people that that won't happen.
No, and let's talk about that, because, Joel, I mean, what we're really watching unfold has nothing to do with racism. This is about political ideologies at stake here. And I think we are in the middle of a war, as, you know, Obama promised to fundamentally transform America.
Well, it's really interesting that you pick up on that quote. So conservatives remember this quote. 5 days before the 2008 election, Obama said, "We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America." Most Americans were voting for economic stability, maybe for a change of leadership, just for something different than they were experiencing. They wanted the economy to get better. They didn't want fundamental transformation of the country. But Obama read that as the mandate he had, and he set about trying to do that. Now, the Tea Party responded in 2010 with that wave election for Republicans. But Joe Biden is right back on that note of fundamental transformation. I've got a piece today at Breitbart showing that Joe Biden is no longer a moderate. He actually says he wants revolutionary institutional change. That word revolutionary, that's a Bernie Sanders word. That's what Bernie Sanders used to say on the campaign trail. We want a political revolution. Now Joe Biden is using the word revolutionary change. He's also talking about fundamental transformation, echoing Obama and Sanders. So Joe Biden has had to move so far to the left that even though he was, quote unquote, the moderate choice, he is still the symbol of Red November. He is going to bring with him a whole group of Bernie Sanders advisors who are now directing the policy for his campaign, and a lot of Obama alumni who tried instituting socialism the last time they had power, and now they hope to have a second chance.
Yeah, this is really going to be a fascinating book to read, especially in light of what's been happening in some of these elections, and not just AOC and Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, but when you look at the most recent Democrat primaries in New York, where you have Nancy Pelosi supporters like Elliot Engel going down in defeat to these far left progressives. Joel, what do you see happening here in America and specifically with the Democrat Party?
The Democratic base in big cities, so this is distinct from Democrat voters in general, but specifically in these urban districts, they're not voting against Pelosi as such, but they are moving left. And what they're also doing is they're rejecting an older generation of Democratic politicians, most of whom are white. And they're saying, we want politicians who are people of color. That is the explicit aim of a group called the Justice Democrats, which Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is part of. Justice Democrats has an explicitly racial appeal, and they sponsor these insurgent primaries against incumbent white Democrats who represent majority-minority districts. And their purpose is to move those white Democrats out and to put black or Hispanic Democrats, most of whom are further to the left, in. And that's what they've done over and over again. Elliot Engel is the latest victim of this, and he's been around in Congress for decades. He's chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And remember, he fought with Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, who's one of these Justice Democrats, made a bunch of anti-Semitic statements last year. She hates Israel. She said a lot of bad things about Jews. And Elliot Engel, who's the chair of her committee, she's on the Foreign Affairs Committee, he objected and said that she had used anti-Semitic slurs and so forth. But they didn't fire her from the committee. He couldn't get rid of her on the committee. And now, effectively, she's won because she got rid of him. Her group got rid of him in a primary, so he's still the chair for another few months, but he's out next year. And Jamal Bowman, who's a black former school superintendent, I believe, or founder of a school, has worked on the left for a long time and has pronounced anti-Israel views and very racial in his appeal. And his victory speech was specifically about black power and things like that. So there's something racial going on in the Democratic Party that I think many Americans thought we were long past, especially with all the gains that minorities have made, the low unemployment, at least before coronavirus, low unemployment in minority communities, historically low. And what's happened is politically the Democratic Party has reactivated this kind of identity politics, and that's what you're seeing play out in these urban districts. It's a little different in the suburbs, but that's what's happening here.
And you touched on, you know, anti-Semitism, and you guys have covered that at Breitbart. We've talked about it on this program, but there was a piece out a couple of weeks ago lamenting the number of Jewish lawmakers who were losing their seats to these leftist anti-Israel progressives out here. So there's a whole subtext going on there.
Right. And that's because, look, you'll find Jewish people on every side in politics, myself included. I mean, I'm a Tea Party conservative, and you got Elliot Engel, who's a traditional liberal establishment Democrat, losing his seat over there. But what's happening among Democrats is that Jewish Democrats have tended to be more favorable to the establishment. In general, Jews, for a variety of reasons, like stability. Now, you'll also find a lot of Jewish radicals marching alongside the Black Lives Matter movement, but you won't find so many in Antifa. We have a history as a Jewish people that instability tends to be bad for us. And you see it actually with the Black Lives Matter movement. When the Black Lives Matter riots happened in LA a month ago, they vandalized synagogues and they ransacked kosher supermarkets and stores owned by Jewish people who happen to live in the area. And the area they went through is not particularly wealthy, the Fairfax area. A lot of religious families, which tend to be larger, and many of them tend to be lower middle class or even sometimes poor. Those were the targets of the rage of Black Lives Matter. So this instability is bad for the Jewish community. But what's happening also in the Democratic Party, you just have this insurgent wave. They're targeting the Democratic establishment. So whether you're Jewish or not, Joe Crowley was the congressman who lost to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I believe he's an Irish Catholic fellow, and he had been in Congress for 20 years. He's just part of the establishment. So it's not really, politically at least, necessarily about Jews. Although I will say this, the left within the Democratic Party has aligned itself with some anti-Semitic groups. I mean, you're looking at Louis Farrakhan being rehabilitated by the left, Bill Clinton sharing a stage with Louis Farrakhan, Al Sharpton, who's got a long history of anti-Semitism, now the kingmaker inside the Democratic Party presidential primary. I write about that in Red November, how he went from being a total outcast. I mean, Barack Obama wouldn't be seen with him in public in 2008 to now being the most important African-American politician or political figure with a show on MSNBC and the ability to pick the next presidential candidate, effectively. He's just become a kingmaker, and on the Democratic side, nobody will ever criticize his racism or his anti-Semitism, which he can't really deny. So you're seeing a real sea change in the Democratic Party. It's shifted so far to the left that the kind of things that Democrats used to stand against, like anti-Semitism, they no longer can even really bring themselves to denounce. And it's quite frightening, I think, to Jewish Democrats who have been told, or misled, I think, to believe that conservatives are somehow a threat to them. Now they see the real threat is actually within the Democratic Party. I'm not sure that's going to mean a lot of votes change sides, but I do think that it underscores the instability right now in our political system. And I think the candidate who wins in November is going to be the one who convinces American voters that he can bring about a greater stability in the country.
Yeah, how do you think that is going to shape up? I was surprised that you said that Biden is going to be the most liberal. I mean, the guy, I'm not sure he really has a core, a center. I mean, you know, Biden was effectively a moderate Republican back in the day. Do you really think that he's gone that far left, or is he just reading off the talking points? Because I'm not sure the guy still knows that he's actually running for the White House.
You're 100% correct. And Joe Biden has always had his finger in the wind to try to figure out which direction his party is blowing. When he was elected to the Senate in the early 70s, the Democrats were reeling from the losses of 1968 and 72, and so Democrats started trending back toward the middle. The result of that eventually was Jimmy Carter and then Bill Clinton. And Joe Biden, you're correct, was known to be on the more moderate side, although he was never called a moderate, never called himself a moderate. He just basically took up the position in the middle of the Democratic consensus. The reason he's so far left right now is because the party has shifted so far left. And you don't have to listen to me on that. You can also listen to Nate Silver's website, 538.com. They did a piece a few weeks ago saying Joe Biden would be the most liberal president ever elected. And they say, look, if you look at his history, voting record, all the data, he's basically just smack in the middle of the Democratic Party. The issue is that the party has shifted so far left. That makes Joe Biden, as Barack Obama said, the most progressive candidate in history. Obama even said that the Biden platform is more left-wing than the platform he ran on, and he said it almost apologetically, like, I'm sorry I couldn't be as left-wing as Joe is now. The situation has just changed.
Fascinating. Real quick here, who do you think the VP nominee is going to be?
Well, the smart money is on Kamala Harris, and there are a couple of reasons for that. First of all, she checks a lot of the different boxes. She's got all of the identity boxes checked. I was at an event with Kamala Harris, and I write about this in the book, where she pitched herself as the first Asian American president.
Wow.
Now,
oh, wow.
very few people think of Kamala Harris and think Asian American, but her mother is originally from India, so that makes her half Asian American. So that's the pitch she made to Asian American voters. She's got that trick going in a lot of different ethnic groups that make up the Democratic Party coalition, at least in terms of those members of that ethnic group who are willing to play the identity politics game. Asian Americans, African Americans, immigrants, even some Jewish Americans. She's married to a Jewish fellow, and Kamala Harris has been more careful on Israel than some of the other candidates. So I think she checks a lot of different boxes. She also has experience as a prosecutor. That was a weakness in a Democratic primary, but it's a strength in a general election, especially when you have Black Lives Matter and Antifa tearing down statues and attacking people in their homes and whatever. And finally, the other thing is Joe Biden's got a problem with race that just gets papered over because the media are always calling Trump a racist. But remember, Biden's the one who said you ain't black if you don't vote for him if you're African-American. He's got a history of racial comments that Harris brought up in the primary. And it's precisely because she brought them up that she's the only person who can really absolve him of that history. So adding her to the ticket makes him, in a sense, kosher for the broad coalition of interest that Democrats have to vote for.
Joel, got to leave it there. Congratulations. The new book comes out July 14th. Folks, you can already pre-order. Was able to get an advance copy. It's a great, great read. Red November. Will the country vote red for Trump or red for socialism? Joel, thanks a lot. Love to have you back sometime.
Thank you. I'd love to come back.
All right, folks, got to take a break. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Guys, some interesting information from Andy Ngo. He's been on the program. You see him on Fox News Channel every now and again. He's right in the thick of these Antifa protests, covering all these reports. You might be interested to know that Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people. Now, those guys, they make some delicious ice cream. But I, by the way, Caleb, Avery, do y'all eat the Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah, I like Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I've always been more of a Mayfield person because I actually grew up near a Mayfield facility. But
Mayfield, Bluebell,
yeah.
Delicious.
There's some good stuff out there.
You know, I like the Ben and Jerry's, but there's almost too much stuff in the. You know what I mean? It's like you want to enjoy the flavor of the ice cream.
Yeah, because they put all the other stuff in with it, like the, I don't know if you call it toppings, but whatever you call the other stuff they mix in with it.
That's right. And by the way, just a brief aside. So had to grab some dinner, and this is, I'm hurting my Southern street cred, but I was had a hankering for some KFC. So I went through the drive through. Can I tell you, the biscuit was hard as a rock.
Oh, that's a day killer.
Should have gone to Popeyes. I'm just saying. And the coleslaw was warm. What's up with that?
Gosh,
anyway,
coleslaw, but I can't eat. I wouldn't imagine.
Oh, that's just like eating mortar at that point.
Very well played. So Andy Ngo says, hey, just FYI, folks, Ben and Jerry's has been setting up portable ice cream trucks in these Chaz zones. And they've been giving people free food. And there's video, sure enough, of a Ben and Jerry's truck. It looks like a food truck. And they're serving all of this free ice cream to these domestic terrorists. And the point he's trying to make is that Ben and Jerry's is providing material aid to a bunch of domestic terrorists. So, look, I'm not telling you where to get your ice cream, but you just might want to be aware that if you get the Chunky Monkey or the Cherry Garcia, your money could be funding Black Lives Matter domestic terrorist. So again, that's your call as a consumer, but you need to be aware of what Ben and Jerry's is up to. So thanks, Andy Ngo, for letting us know about that. Hey, remember the TikTok gal who wanted to stab people for saying all lives matter? Oh, we've got an update on that story. We're going to tell you all about that. Also, Congressman Doug Collins coming up. 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you guys with us today. You know, something interesting, just an observation here, that whoever is telling the president who to throw his support behind in some of these congressional and senatorial races, I'm not sure that person needs to be in the White House. And I say this because we have seen a number of the Trump-endorsed candidates that have fallen by the wayside. They have lost their races. And in fact, the true conservatives are rising to the top. And I believe that's going to also happen in the state of Georgia, where Congressman Doug Collins, who has been one of the greatest defenders of this president on Capitol Hill, is running for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Kelly Loeffler. And just for the sake of full disclosure, we have invited the senator to come onto this program a number of times, and she and her office either refuse or do not return the calls of our staff. But you know who does? Congressman Doug Collins, who is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now. Hello, Congressman.
Hey, Don. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. You know, I don't mean to bring this up again, but one of the things that bothered me about Kelly Loeffler was, and I understand politics and it gets ugly, but to somehow try to convince people that you are in Nancy Pelosi's back pocket, I mean, that's pretty sleazy in my estimation.
Well, but when you're bankrupt of ideas and you're not able to communicate your own ideas and you have a history of, and this is no joke, giving money to Maxine Waters, giving money to Chris Dodd, having owned a basketball team that supports Planned Parenthood by giving part of their proceeds from a sale of their ball, one of their games to Planned Parenthood. You know, you got to keep people away from your own bad record if that's what the senator's doing. And look, I mean, it's not working. The people of Georgia are seeing through that, and they know that we're the fighter, that we're the conservative that is actually getting things done in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you are the guy out there, boots on the ground, that's been fighting for not just Georgians, but for all Americans and defending this president's economic agenda. And we certainly saw some good news today. I mean, we're not out of the woods just yet, but we're making some progress here.
Oh, we definitely are. I mean, this jobs report's incredible. I mean, we're unemployment's back down to 11% after, you know, the news media just as little as 3 or 4 weeks ago were saying it was going to go 20%, possibly 30%. Look, they don't want anything except this president defeated. They don't have an agenda that they can sell to the American people, so they just try to make people either scared or they try to tear down a president and say that he has done something wrong for the country, which he is actually the opposite of. He's actually, you know, helped us in our, you know, in the trade deal. The USMCA's went into effect. We have, you know, job numbers are coming back. We have, you know, a lot of things to be proud of. We still have a lot left to go on the with the virus. Nobody, you know, ever said that, you know, if you stay in for 2 weeks, this thing goes away. But we're now beginning as a society to learn how we deal with it and be socially responsible for it so that we can continue in our country and keep our country strong.
You know, looking at what's happening around the country, and I think at least in Georgia, things are quieting down. That is not the case in places like New York City, where lawlessness is rampant. There have been just ugly attacks on police officers. What, $1 billion removed from the New York City Police Department budget. Congressman, what are your concerns here as these efforts are underway to literally defund police in America?
I'm really curious. Did Mayor de Blasio also cut the funds for his protection detail? Because the New York City Police ain't going to provide police protection for the mayor and the council. I'm wondering if they actually cut their own. Because, look, this is just it's demoralizing to the men and women who stand up every day, who put the badge on, who go out to work to protect and promote the values that we hold dear, due process, our constitutional rights. And to see this kind of attack continue by a group of folks who want to, you know, just rewrite history. They want to rewrite they want a more socialist approach, but then they also are telling people that we can do without our police officers. It's just wrong. Look, we're seeing attacks not just from folks in the streets. We're actually seeing attacks on police here in Georgia with the district attorney in Fulton County, Paul Howard, who actually charged officers with murder before he ever got the investigation back while he's in the middle of a reelection campaign in a runoff. And I'm not. It's shocking to me the silence that we've heard from other Georgia officials on why he shouldn't recuse himself and allow the Attorney General of Georgia to put an independent counsel in here. Police need our support. They need our help. And when they, you know, they're the first to tell you when someone does it wrong in their profession, they want them out of there. But we cannot turn our back on these men and women who do so much for us.
No, you're absolutely right. We cannot do that. I mean, and the alternative is anarchy in the streets. And I think when you look at places like Seattle, I mean, nobody wants that in their communities. And you have to appreciate, you know, these sheriffs out there. We played some audio from the sheriff of Clay County, Florida, who said, you know what, if our deputies can't handle it, I'll deputize every law abiding gun owner in the county.
Exactly. You know, it is. When people understand that, I mean, the gun sales right now are at some of their highest levels ever, and it's because people are going to turn to safety. They're going to turn to protecting their home. Every person, you know, his inherent instinct is to protect themselves, and I'm glad the Second Amendment's there. I'm glad that our folks can own guns. They can have concealed carry permits. They can carry openly, however they want it. This is, you know, but this is should not have to be the norm when people feel that threatened because they have elected officials in these big cities who are tearing at the very fabric of our communities by tearing at our police departments and our community relations.
You know, Congressman, just a few moments ago, you posted an item on your Twitter page. We've been covering this story. There's some really weird things happening in the U.S. military right now where troops in the Army have been told that they cannot go and attend church services or things of that nature. Their religious liberty is being restricted. You're getting involved. You and Congressman Doug Lamport writing a letter. What's going on there?
Well, unfortunately, we've been over this many times. This is like, here we go again. And it seems like in the 7.5 years, being the only, I'm still in, of course, the Air Force Reserve. I'm a military chaplain. I've served, you know, not only stateside, but in Iraq as well. And what I see is constantly the different branches, Army, Navy, even the Air Force, that have officers at the JAG Corps, officers and others, and enlisted who do not support, don't stand up when they're challenged by folks like Mickey Weinstein and these other anti-religious folks. And what's even more disturbing, I've just decided to go to the top, to Secretary Esper and to the White House and say, this has to stop. How can you allow a order to come out to the Navy that says their military personnel can't go to a church service off base in a closed, inside a building, but yet will allow them to go to houses and protests and other things? This is a direct frontal attack on their constitutional rights and DOD policy. So we need everybody in the country who's listening right now to be aware of this. They need to, you know, they can go to, and check us out. They can come to our websites. They can find out what we're doing. They can call. But they need to get involved in this because it's about every 6 to 8 months there's an attack on chaplains, there's an attack on religious liberties, and I'm just not going to let it stand. We're going to fight for this. If this one is one, I'm taking it straight to the top of DOD, and it's time for Secretary Esper to actually answer my concerns and answer my questions and not simply be bullied by those who want to take the Constitution away from service members.
And it seems to me that what we're dealing with are a lot of holdovers from the Obama administration. They fired so many good and decent men and women and replaced them with a lot of folks who are very unfriendly towards people of faith.
Oh, well, very much so. We saw a lot of that coming in. And look, that's one of the reasons why, you know, we look at me, we can't allow what I call the fiefdoms to develop. You know, I signed a 10 million pledge for members. I think that's fine. But the real issue is what we need to do is you can't have the fiefdoms that build up in the bureaucracies in these establishments that nobody has put there, who are accountable to nobody, who stay there forever. I mean, look, think about it. This is what we saw at DOJ with Comey, Strutt, McCabe, all these folks who believe that they were above the law because they had been there forever and had institutional knowledge. And the DOD has got to address this themselves, and it's got to be folks like Secretary Esper, who's appointed by the president. You know, this is someone that he needs to deal with, and his service chiefs need to deal with as well. But instead, they're giving in to the mentality that I will just the squeaky wheel is going to get the oil here, and they're doing so at the expense of constitutional liberties.
All right, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Really hope that you and the family have a very wonderful Independence Day weekend.
Well, y'all have a blessed one as well. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, Congressman Doug Collins from the state of Georgia, running for the U.S. Senate, the true conservative in that race. And it's worth pointing out again, we have invited Senator Loeffler on this program numerous times, and she has declined to do so. So, again, we like to open up our platform to everybody. So, and if you've listened to this show for any length of time, by the way, our 3-year anniversary coming up on July 5th. But if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know that we're not one of these gotcha radio programs. That's just not how we operate. We give people a fair shake. Have you heard about Scott Adams? Scott Adams is the guy who created Dilbert. You guys remember Dilbert, the cartoon character? Remember when they used to have like funny pages in the newspapers and you could look at the cartoons? Avery, do you remember that? Do you know what a newspaper is?
Yes, I know what a newspaper is.
I was always partial to Garfield.
The only thing I actually read in a newspaper was the funnies. So,
remember Dagwood and Blondie?
Yes.
I never could figure out. Really, it was all about Dagwood, but I believe the cartoon was actually named Blondie.
It was named Blondie, yeah.
Yeah. And what was the, there was another one, is it Sergeant, Beetle Bailey, remember?
Beetle Bailey. Beetle Bailey was pretty good.
And BC, maybe we could open up the phones for that. Your favorite cartoon, newspaper cartoon. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. So Dilbert, Scott Adams, is a Trump guy, which is kind of surprising because the cartoonist, their paintbrushes lean left. And Scott Adams, who's a big Trump supporter, is really concerned about the presidential election. He hopped on Twitter and he said, if Joe Biden is elected to the White House, there's a good chance that you will be dead within a year. Golly. Republicans will be hunted, he wrote. Police will stand down. You know, I probably would not have used those kinds of words, but because honestly, I think most Republicans have engaged in their Second Amendment freedoms, so they're not going to go down without a fight. But I understand where he's going here, that Republicans are going to be hunted down. You know, they did this. Obama did this when he was president. He unleashed the Internal Revenue Service and the deep state on the Tea Party and Christian organizations that opposed his policies. If you may not remember this story, but Billy Graham, America's pastor, one of the most revered individuals, was actually targeted by the Internal Revenue Service. He got an audit. They audited America's pastor. So these Democrats are pretty ruthless. I'm going to ask you as we go to break, do you think there's going to be payback if Joe Biden is elected? Do you think they're going to come after us? 844-747-8868, toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our number. That's 844-747-8868. Oh, by the way, I don't know what's happening with your favorite college football team. I believe the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, they're going to be honoring Black Lives Matter. I believe University of Alabama will be doing the same. And in Memphis, at the University of Memphis, all of the players, whether they want to or not, are going to have to wear a Black Lives Matter decal on their official uniforms. So just to be clear, these are public universities paid for with your tax dollars, and they are using our money to support a domestic terrorist organization, a Marxist organization that wants to take down our nation. Just thought I would pass that along to you. So we have an interesting update about a young lady who made a rather serious threat on TikTok. Let's take a listen to the threat.
Next person who has the sheer nerve, the sheer entitled caucasity to say all lives matter, I'm gonna stab you. I'm gonna stab you. And while you're struggling and bleeding out, I'm gonna show you my paper cut and say, my cut matters too.
I got to tell you, paper cuts do hurt. Have you guys ever had a paper cut? It's very unpleasant.
Yeah, it's annoying. It's one of those annoying pains.
Mm-hmm. You don't think it would disable you, but it
knocks that whole hand out.
It does. It's very, it's unpleasant. So this young lady is a graduate of Harvard University. Her name is Clara Janover. And her TikTok video has gone viral. And a lot of people very upset that she would, brag about wanting to stab people. So it turns out that she had been offered a job and she had accepted this job offer from Deloitte, which is a British accounting company. And when the bosses saw the TikTok video. Well, it turns out that Miss Janover is now, well, you got to listen to what happened next.
I know this is what Trump supporters wanted, because standing up for Black Lives Matter put me in a place online to be seen by millions of people. The job that I had worked really hard to get and meant a lot to me just called me and fired me because of everything. I don't know if everyone's seen, but it's been circulating a lot. My Black Lives Matter TikToks were picked up by conservatives and spread and shared, and people were demanding that I be fired, which I just got. My job that I worked really hard for.
That's kind of how I sound when I get a paper cut, by the way.
That's how we thought you were going to be sounding earlier in the show when we played the Lee Greenwood song.
Stop it. Avery, you're just back, so don't push it.
Sorry
don't
about
push
that.
Your luck.
But I just want to comment on this. As a college student, you know, I want to work hard, and I do feel sorry for her in the respect that she did work hard for this degree, because Harvard is an elite school. I will give her that. It's a leftist school, but it's a highly elite school. But you can't do that sort. You can't threaten to kill people or cause harm to people when you're up for a job opportunity or just in general. That's not right.
I also love her sobbing over the fact that, oh no, people picked up my video and shared it. Yeah, you posted it on a public platform. It's not like
the point.
Yeah. Oh, I posted something on social media and people saw it. Shocking.
You know what's going to happen is every time she goes to the break room, you know, and she's grabbing for a utensil, I don't know, to smear the bagel, you know, they're going to have to call in security. You know, you don't want people to get injured by the. I mean, she's that was unhinged. You don't put your folks. If you're a Democrat, a Republican, don't care. But don't get on the TikTok. Don't get on the Facebook or the Instagram and threaten to stab people because they have a political opinion or a philosophy that may be different from yours. So, yeah, a part of me does feel slightly bad for this person. But the left does this all the time. They do it all the time. I can't tell you how many conservatives have been fired from jobs for saying something much, much less offensive. But because they are a conservative, they support this president, all of a sudden they become, I don't know, public enemy number one. I got to say this, always got to look for the brighter side. And I don't know, maybe Deloitte might just hire a person of color to replace her at the company. Well, there you go. All right. All lives matter. We'll be right back, folks. Wow.